ABC Radio Australia.
Flash flooding and landslides caused by torrential rain have killed dozens and crippled parts of Timor-Leste, and there are now fears that COVID-19 will spread quickly through evacuation centres where thousands of people are now staying. Torrential rain on Sunday sparked the widespread devastation, submerging homes and streets in both Timor-Leste and neighbouring Indonesia. Here in Australia, the opposition says the government must prepare to respond to the devastating floods. There were also fears that the floods would prevent a plane carrying the Timor-Leste's first batch of COVID-19 vaccines sourced by the COVAX facility for developing nations from landing. But two local sources told the ABC that the plane had arrived on schedule. Australia's Shadow Minister for International Development, Pat Conroy, says that there is still a clear need for an emergency response, however. For more on the situation on the ground and what's needed, we're joined now by Roy Trivedi, the United Nations resident coordinator in the Timor capital, Dili, who was previously based in PNG and a regular Pacific Beat guest. Good morning, Roy.
Good morning, Mala. Good morning to all of your listeners.
Well, firstly, our thoughts are with you and everyone in Timor-Leste. I do understand that UN staff's homes and your offices have been damaged as well. Can you paint us a picture of the extent of the damage you've seen?
Yes, Mala. Look, as a result of the very, very heavy rainfall, literally every household, every street across the whole of Dili, and I think much of the country, we've seen infrastructure down, lot of buildings down, lot of debris now on the roads and so on. Literally every house has had so much water, and also now mud, having to clear all of that and so on. We've roughly 10,000, just over 10,300 people so far have been affected from the information we've been able to gather. Eight of the 13 municipalities in Timor-Leste have been affected, and we are just collecting more information. On the Sunday was when we had the really heavy downpour, Sunday morning, and right up to lunchtime. And that evening, the authorities had 1,500 plus people in 13 evacuation centers, facilities. And we were able to provide support to the authorities to be able to give those people at least some hot meals, able to provide some basic blankets and so on. And yesterday we were able to deliver more support. But it looks like, you know, everywhere you go, where you drive and so on, where you're able to get to, it looks like a major disaster. Lot of infrastructure impacted.
Now, it's being described as the worst flash flooding recorded recently. Have you seen anything like this before?
You know, I was in Mozambique during 1999-2000, where we had the Mozambican floods. So it reminds me very much of that. Of course, Mozambique is a bigger country than Timor, so you don't need to fly everywhere and so on. But on the other hand, the scale of this is huge. As I said, literally every household has been impacted. So far, we've had 21 reported deaths, and many, many more injuries and so on. And, you know, what happens with these kind of situations is that people are very quick to try and rebuild and clean their houses and so on. But we are also fully expecting, as a result of this, then vector-borne and also things like waterborne diseases. So things like dengue, things like malaria, and then also diarrhea, impacting on children. And as you said in your opening statement, you know, this comes immediately after Timor has been in lockdown, and there have been, you know, we've been trying to get messages across to people to wear masks, to practice distancing and so on. And it becomes very difficult to do that for people once you have a major calamity like this.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Pacific Beat on ABC Radio Australia. And we're joined by Roy Trivedi, the United Nations resident coordinator in Timor's capital, Dili. We were talking there just before about the COVID-19 cases. They have been growing in Timor-Leste. So potentially, could these evacuation centres that are being spread around, you know, these temporary refuge centres, could they potentially speed up transmission as people are compacted in a small area? And, you know, prior to all of this, Dili, of course, had been in a lockdown ahead of the floods as well.
Yeah. Look, definitely, I think where you have evacuation centres, etc., it's very difficult to try and keep physical distancing for people, etc. So there is actually every possibility that you will have more spread of the COVID virus. You know, yesterday, unfortunately, on Sunday and yesterday, we had also SAMES, which is the major, holds all the stock, medical stocks, et cetera, all the PPE equipment, et cetera, for government. That was also partly flooded. We had the national labs, which are doing the testing, also flooded. And people have worked incredibly hard to get all of the all of these things cleared in time for the first arrival of the vaccines and so on, the COVAX vaccines yesterday. So that was really fantastic to see. And now we have to start to implement that vaccination program, which the government are planning to do tomorrow. So things are really moving, and all credit to the authorities. Yesterday morning, I was with the Secretary of State for Civil Protection and his team. They are coordinating the government responses to, you know, on the humanitarian side. And we were able to hand equipment, sleeping mats, tarpaulins, blankets, sanitary kits, dignity kits also for women, making sure that they have technical expertise as part of their team to help coordinate and so on. But this is going to be a very, very long, difficult process, definitely.
Absolutely. Now, you know, you mentioned there some of the things that you have received so far, but with PPE potentially being destroyed and some of this flooding, the labs, what are the greatest needs right now, especially as you mentioned with flooding, you know, you have a lot of waterborne and vector-borne diseases around. What is the current greatest need on the ground in Timor-Leste at the moment?
Yeah, I think that there are a number of things, okay, that we need to do. One is, first and foremost, we're still trying to reach all of the municipalities, make sure that those who are most vulnerable, the elderly, people with disabilities, young children, women, and so on, you know, that they have shelter, at least dry place to stay, and so on. Secondly, food. And so far, we've got enough, but we will definitely require food assistance. There is the need also for people to have clean water. Many people lost everything, so clothes, blankets, then medical support, trauma support, and so on. And as I said, many roads, bridges, and infrastructure have been hit. And, you know, this will also have longer-term implications for things like farming and food production in the country. So this is going to have really both an immediate impact on people and communities, but also longer-term impact on Timor's development.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, you know, short and long-term impact, finally, here in Australia, there are calls for the Australian government to help. Do you agree that Timor-Leste, not potentially in the immediate time, but, you know, as they start to rebuild infrastructure in the longer-term, getting the country back up, do you think that Australia's help will be needed?
I want to tell your listeners, first and foremost, that Australia is already doing quite a lot in Timor. Of course, at a time of crisis like this, all of us are going to need to do more. So that's certainly there. But yesterday I was speaking with Peter Roberts, the ambassador for Australia to Timor-Leste, and Ambassador Roberts is already on the case. He is trying to find out exactly what the government needs, what are the requirements, what do humanitarian organizations need, and so on. And I know that he has plans to try to reach out to to Canberra to try and get additional assistance. But every single partner will need to do that. This is not something that only one partner can do. Australia, we will need support also from the European Union, from the whole of the international community. And I'm really pleased to say that the UN system here, all of our agencies, UNICEF, UNFPA, United Nations Development Programme, World Food Programme, International Organization of Migration, United Nations Women, everybody, you know, in my role as coordinator, I'm trying to get all of us to work really effectively to support government over the next period. This is what is going to be required.
Roy, from Pacific Beat and from Radio Australia, we're thinking of you during this time. It will be quite a tumultuous road ahead.
Mala, can I just say one very last thing, which is, you know, at times of crisis like this, two things normally happen in my experience. The first is these kind of crises either bring people together and the whole country gets united behind a single effort, or they begin to fragment and people start to do their own thing. It is really important in Timor, as in many other places, that we use this opportunity to try to make sure that we build a national consensus and a national way of working. These things can either make nations or break nations. We want to make sure that in Timor, it helps to make the nation even stronger and prouder. Thank you.
Absolutely. I hope that is the case as well. And thinking of you in the weeks ahead in order of getting everything together and everything that you need. But Roy, thank you so much again for your time this morning.
Thank you.
That was Roy Trivedi, the United Nations resident coordinator in the Timor capital, Dili. And the Australian government has told the ABC it is providing immediate support to the Timor-Leste government, including providing clean water in the evacuation centres and emergency at the COVID crisis centre. And it says it stands ready to assist in response to further requests for assistance.